podcast is generously brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok.
Comments made on the Saratok Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Saratok Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey guys, welcome to The Rundown, the latest podcast here on the Saratok Podcast Network. And we're going to be focusing all on sports. My name is AZ, and I'm here with Mr. JDR, who's got a little promotion for you guys. So take it away, man.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope everybody's doing well. Just wanted to point out that this podcast is graciously sponsored by Audible.com. To receive your free Audible, go to audible.com/Saratok, and your first Audible download is free.
That's right. And just want to let you guys know a little bit about us. Again, my name is AZ, sports fanatic. Been a sports fanatic since, you know, I was young, watching those Dallas Cowboys win those three Super Bowls in the 90s. Big fan of David Robinson, Michael Jordan, and the NBA. And big fan of soccer. I started out just checking out the soccer league in Mexico and really enjoying the MLS here. And the Premier League, the excitement in there is something else to watch, and it's big time with the fans and the Spaniard League as well, with Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Well, I've been a lifelong NBA fan. I'm out of Houston, so of course I got to root for the Rockets. Thankful enough that I was fully conscious as a little boy watching them get the first back-to-back championships, and I remember all the happiness all over the city. And so I've always been into the Rockets and into basketball. Just recently, I got into American football, so I root for the Texans and the Patriots. But like you, it's in my family, it's in my blood that we have to watch soccer. So gotta root for USA, gotta root for Mexico.
That's right.
I don't really watch a lot of English Premier League. I do watch the Bundesliga from time to time, the German league. But I really like watching UEFA, and I do like watching the Mexican league as well. So it's pretty cool. And also MLS, Dynamo.
Right.
They've won a couple championships here in Houston. So, and also into the WWE, hardcore WWE fanatic. So that's what I'm all about.
Definitely. No, same here. WWE, WWF, you know, big supporter of that, big promoter of the wrestling entertainment, as now they like to call it. So, yeah, no, man, definitely. The Bundesliga, they're going to get a lot more attention this year, especially since they're World Cup champions, you know, the Germans. But I don't see what's so good about it. Bayern is probably going to win the Champions League. They're playing out of their shoes, man. They've been playing out of their shoes this whole season. But, like, there's nobody close to them. I don't understand why people are really excited about that league, because they're going to get a lot more coverage here in the United States this coming year, you know, starting in the next season in August, September.
I kind of get upset at the fact that we've got so much coverage of the English Premier League.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well,
much,
where was
right?
this coverage 6 years ago? You know, like a lot of Americans, I only knew of Rooney or David Beckham. And of course, Rooney's in the twilight of his career and Beckham's already retired. So I'm like, well, where was all this coverage when Beckham was still relevant, when Rooney was doing all that damage that he did?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to watch it. It's a different pace. It's a different environment, and it is nice to see so many people, you know, like they fill up Wembley Stadium. It is cool to see that. I'm not used to seeing that here watching the MLS.
Yeah, no, and I mean, and that's
it's too much. It's
a huge stadium, though. And I like the on the Premier League, I'll give them that. They have the environment for the fans, and the fans love it, and the fans are into it. Any play, the fans are, I mean, it's so loud. You know, it's amazing to watch. I don't think anywhere else they live the sport like the British do.
I do think that the MLS is on the rise, though. We just witnessed that massive undertaking that they did, filling up the Citrus Bowl in Florida, where they packed 60,000 fans to watch Orlando FC against the New York City FC, both of which new teams. And I was completely shocked that they managed to pull it off, because it's MLS. It's not international games. It's not USA versus Mexico or USA versus England. You expect to sell that amount of tickets and that amount of people for those, but not for MLS. So I'm hoping that this means it's on the rise, seeing as how for most people it's NFL, NBA, baseball, and hockey, and then if there's time, you get to MLS.
Right. No, it was a big deal filling up the Orange Bowl And I do think they put a lot of effort into it, and they made it, you know, MLS made it happen. And, you know, they're not going to stop there. They got two more teams in there, and now they're 20. They're looking to get two more in the next couple of years, and I think they're looking to cap off at 24, which in my opinion is too many, but, you know, it might work with the current system that they have right now. But typically I've seen it to where, you know, if you want to push it, 18 to 20 teams in a league is what works. Once you start pushing it past that, it's too many, you know?
Well, we just got a women's team here, so I'm excited. The women's league is also growing, so I'm very excited. I really do think that soccer's on the rise here.
Well, you look at the girls and what they've done, you know? They've been so successful. The U.S. soccer team, and the World Cup is actually this summer for the women. And, you know, I mean, the U.S. soccer girls would back then with Mia Hamm and now with Abby Wambach, and they've just been running roughshod over everybody. You know, it's always the only ones that give them a challenge is Germany and sometimes Brazil and Britain. But the last few games that I've seen, it's getting a lot more balanced and making for better games and things like that. So I'm curious to see the World Cup for women's this summer and how that's going to go. You know, it should be good.
Well, right now we're in the tail end of March, so everybody's talking about March Madness, but what I'm stuck on right now is the MVP race in the NBA. That's just incredible to watch right now.
It is.
So we've got three candidates, and I can't recall that we've ever had a time where we were arguing over who should be, and we've got all these people.
No.
So right now the front runners are Russell Westbrook.
Russell, that's right.
James Harden, and the guy that seems to be up head and shoulders above the other two, Steph Curry.
Yep. You know, usually, like you were saying, usually we have one guy, maybe two guys fighting for that MVP spot. And this year, it's not the case. It's pretty deep. You got about three for sure, and maybe a couple others that can sneak in there into the talk. But as far as, you know, who's going to get that MVP, it's going to be between these three. And I still think it's Steph Curry, the one that should get it. Looks to me like the future face of the NBA once LeBron in a couple of years just kind of fades out a little bit. And I think it's time to perhaps make that pass to Steph Curry. And, you know, he's averaging 23 points a game, 7 to 8 assists a game. I think he's doing what he needs to do in order to get his team, you know, into the game and also help his team with his points to get over the top. I mean, the Warriors are number one in the West, which is, you know, not even close. And it's the best conference in the NBA, and they've been running roughshod over everybody and no sign of them stopping.
Incidentally, all three of the people that we're talking about are all in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and that should tell you right there, you know, how dominant the Western Conference is.
I'm hoping, though, that the eventual MVP should be James Harden. That's what I'm hoping for, simply because he's just so dominant for the Rockets. He's completely bailing them out since Dwight Howard is still injured and he's not been playing. I know he's supposed to be returning soon, but James Harden, he just hit 50 points just the other day for the first time in his career on the same day that the Rockets were honoring their championship teams for 94 and 95. So that was a pretty good game. But aside from that, he's had several games where he's gotten 30 points or more. He just hit 50 the other day. He gets his teammates involved. He's the best with assists, with rebounds, and he shares the ball. He likes to spread the ball around to the rest of the team. So I really do think that tends to separate him a bit more versus Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a point getter. He's a playmaker. He's the one that gets out there and scores for you. Not saying that they don't have teamwork, but Steph Curry clearly is a superstar there. And with the Rockets, I think everybody expected it to be Dwight Howard, and now James Harden is picking up the slack and just holding them together. I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, without Howard, they're going to fall apart. And they're holding steady at three, trying to climb to that number two spot. Hopefully we can break that jinx where once they get to the first round, they're one and done and they're out. But I also think Westbrook is going to make a pretty good case for himself. What do you think about Westbrook?
I think that Westbrook is kind of his own enemy. He's averaging 27 points and might just get the scoring title this year. Just how good he's been playing. But in order to be the MVP, you do have to be the most valuable player on your team. And I think Westbrook is sometimes, you know, his biggest criticism is he takes too many shots to get his points. And I mean, a sign of that is that he's averaging 3 assists to 4 assists per game. And that's not good for a point guard. I think you need to average a little more than that. But his point total, like I said, is very high. And this guy is a triple-double machine. I mean, he's got 7 triple-doubles this year. Some players don't even get 7 triple-doubles in their careers, let alone, you know, in 1 year. He plays with so much intensity. You know, he's a winner. Russell Westbrook is a winner. And unfortunately, with Kevin Durant just being announced that he's out indefinitely with that foot injury, that I thought whenever he first came back, I thought he came back too soon, and it came out to be true. Kevin Durant is done for the year. Serge Ibaka is out for 1.5 months, and he'll be back probably after the first round of the playoffs if they make it through that. It's going to be difficult for Russell. I get this idea that he wants to do it all, and he wants to carry the team, but there's different ways to go about it, and the way he should go about it is getting everybody else involved, and sometimes that's not his forte, man. He wants to do it all himself, and, you know, that's why he's going to be in the MVP talk, but at the end of the day, I think that's the reason why he doesn't win it, and Steph Curry, being that the person that he is, does take it. And I know James Harden, nobody will argue with you that, you know, if he gets it, nobody will argue against that. But I think that Steph Curry is doing a lot more for his team right now. And I mean, they ran away with the West. You know, they're not even, I mean, the closest, you're about 12 games out from first and second in the West. And that's unthinkable.
I got to ask, though, since you brought up all these injuries, and I can't recall in all the years that I have watching the NBA where we've had a season that's been so damaging to all these players. Yeah. So you mentioned Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka.
Until the playoffs. Yeah.
Kevin Durant.
Durant. Uh-huh. Out indefinitely. Not even for the playoffs. He's just done. Derrick Rose. Out. Kobe Bryant. Out. Dwight Howard. Out.
Big names.
I gotta say, I think all of these injuries tend to vindicate one Greg Popovich, head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, because for years now he's employed the practice of resting his starters, which also incidentally are his veteran players. They're the guys that he tends to rest and store up for big games or for the postseason. One angle, one could say that this just proves that Popovich, that there is a method to his madness for resting his players. And that trend is being passed over all over the NBA now where they're sitting out their starters or their stars. I gotta ask, do you think that that's good for the sport, for the NBA, or do you think that it's doing more harm than good?
I think that you can't argue with success a lot of the time. It's 5 championships, and I believe you mentioned that they're the only team that have won a title in 3 separate decades. And, you know, they're looking for their repeat.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of things going good for the Spurs, and a lot of that is attributed, you know, and then this year Pop got his 1,000th win. So there is a lot of good that's come out of his system. The problem is, like you were saying, everybody's using it now. You know, you have Steph Curry sitting out. You have, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at certain points you have Harden sitting out. You have some of the Hawks players
sitting
out.
And he has.
So it's getting to be bad because for the fan, because if you only have an opportunity to go see the Rockets or the Spurs, you know, I only have an opportunity to go see them once. And that's the day that Greg Popovich or, you know, any other head coach says, I'm going to rest my players today. But I mean, the tickets were the same price, you know, and I went to go see a particular product and I don't get that product. Then what do you think is going to happen? You know, and I think that is going to cause for a big problem going towards the future if they continue to do that, because, you know, you're going to see drop off in sales of tickets. You're not going to make as much money because I was like, well, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to risk going because I'm not going to get to see the A team, you know? I'm not going to get to see the starters because I don't know if that game they're going to be out. So I think the NBA is kind of, by not making this a rule in some way, they're bringing on some other issues that perhaps they're not going to want to deal with later on. And maybe they should.
You think they're enabling them?
Yeah, and maybe they should do something about it right now. Maybe pass, you know, because you remember before, man, all the players didn't have to play all the minutes for every game. Later in Michael Jordan's career and David Robinson's career, I mean, they managed their minutes in certain games. So they only played 10, 12 minutes in a certain game, and that was it. But they were out there, you know, and they had to be. And whenever you start making it, and you know what? It's not only about the fan. You're starting to create a negative outlook even for the player. It's like, coach, I don't want to play tonight. You know, you're getting paid millions of dollars. You play when you're healthy and you get in there and you play to the best of your ability. But whenever you're like, nah, you don't have to play tonight, then that enables that player to say, I don't want to play tonight.
I will grant you this, that I do think that it's a good strategy for Papa to do it. Obviously, like we said, it yields results, and it yields the results that he wants. So clearly, that's the reason why. I mean, a lot of the techniques that he has, certainly the fact that his basketball, his brand of basketball is team-based as opposed to what we had as the big three trend where just three players could get you that. Clearly, that doesn't work anymore. And so everybody's going back to the team will win you a championship. So I can dig that. And I do think that it does get results. Obviously, they're still a contenders for the playoffs and certainly for the championship. I don't think anybody should count them out.
No, you can't count out the champions.
What I will agree with you is that although I still think it does more good than bad, I never hear anybody in the media, whether it be ESPN, TNT, or NBA TV, any of the big networks, they never address it from the point of view of the fans. And let's face it, like you said, the fans are the ones that will make or break a sport. And when you have a base that wants to see a certain player, like say Kevin Durant, and he's not playing, you're right. It's, well, what did I come here for? And, you know, not everybody has the ability to go to every single game. Not everybody has season tickets. Some of us can only go but once a year. So we make sure to go against a rival that we want to see. It's like, I don't just want to see Tim Duncan. I also want to see Durant. Well, what if they're both not playing? Because they're both difficult games, and maybe they're both saving these respective starters for the next game, whatever the case is. So I definitely see where you're coming from, and you're right. It definitely should be addressed. I don't know why it's not. I'm guessing, again, because you can't argue with results. Maybe that's the proof is in the pudding, as they say, and yeah, that seems to be the reason why. But I think we're just getting into a culture of commissioners not really doing much about it. I mean, look at going into the NFL now. Look at Roger Goodell and all the stuff that he's really not done anything about. You've had the controversies with Greg Hardy, with Adrian Peterson, of course, with Ray Rice. You've had the concussions. And now, even as early as Deflategate, now with the Super Bowl and all that, and nothing was done.
Nothing was done. But, you know, that was going to be clear when I saw that the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. I knew that they weren't going to be able to punish them in any way. So it's just kind of getting pushed under the rug, and it's kind of frustrating to see that the NFL makes so much money, and yet they just can't seem to do anything right in that sense. Aside from causing crazy excitement and their own March Madness, when the free agency started, which is their beginning of the year, on March 10th. And right away, man, we saw some big trades coming
through. Only 2 weeks into it.
Right. Big trades coming through, big moves. And it was unseen before. I mean, we'd never see anything like this.
This is the wildest it's ever been. I can safely say that.
Yeah. So, but which move was big to you? I mean, there was plenty of them, man. So which one was the biggest one for you?
The biggest one for me that upset me, and I'm not the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan, though I do like Tony Romo a lot. And I've always said that you Cowboys fans have a really good quarterback if you put the right pieces for him. And this past season proved it. Went real far, almost made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Very close, if not for a controversial call, but we won't get into it then. I've made it clear that I felt they should keep DeMarco Murray because I felt he was the reason why they made it this far. Yes, Tony Romo had an awesome year. It's the best year that he's ever had as a quarterback. But DeMarco Murray was the reason why they made it this far. So to let him go elsewhere, I think, was a huge mistake. And that's going to be the sort of thing where I think Cowboys fans are going to be sitting back and talking about this for years to come, like, oh, that was a bonehead move. So you as a Cowboys fan, what do you think about that?
I was pretty disappointed in that, the fact that it was pretty much made clear that as long as Dez Bryant got the franchise tag, that DeMarco Murray was going to stay. And the Dallas Cowboys...
I thought DeMarco should have had it instead.
And they could have easily, but, you know, Jerry Jones wasn't going to do that. Jerry Jones is a Dez guy, and he was going to make sure that he got his money.
And I get it, too. Like, the culture of the league is devaluing running backs. I understand it. It's just that, to me, DeMarco Murray isn't a run-of-the-mill running back.
Well, DeMarco Murray hadn't been healthy. This was the first season that he had been healthy throughout the whole season, you know? So there was a few drawbacks to it, and the Cowboys had gotten burned before with paying a running back big money and then him turning out to do nothing after that. So I understand, and they offered him a good contract. It was $6.5 million, and that was guaranteed. But, you know, what hurt the most is that not the fact that he left. It was the fact that he went to the Eagles, and the Eagles have no offensive line. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. They already have Ryan Matthews over there. They had another running back they hired, picked up. So it was kind of confusing in the sense where we don't quite know what DeMarco was going for. He says that he's going to go, he wanted to go and, win the championship. That's what he wants to do, win a Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't know how you're going to do that when you don't have an offensive line. And then come to think of it, how many Super Bowls do the Eagles have? I mean, none.
And they just let go of Nick Foles.
They traded for Sam Bradford. Nick Foles for Sam Bradford, though. So they just traded quarterbacks between the Rams and the Eagles. But, I mean, and that, I mean, how do you let go of a consistent guy like Nick Foles? You know, very consistent. And you trade for a guy who can't stay healthy.
Who played a perfect game not too long ago.
Yeah, man. He scored 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. There was a lot of talk of him coming to Houston. I was very happy about that until I saw he went to the Rams. But I do think the Rams are going to be trouble. The biggest thing that I worry about, I noticed a trend with a lot of teams. They went out and made these big purchases or trades or acquisitions. And I think that they're going to end up shooting themselves in the foot because for a lot of these teams, they don't have a solid quarterback. So the biggest shocker for me, it wasn't so much the player or the team he went to, it was the amount of money that he was given. Ndamukong Suh going to the Miami Dolphins and the exorbitant amount that he was paid. I mean, he got paid J.J. Watt money, just huge amounts of money. And I don't think that he was worth that amount. I mean, he's great. He's a beast, and he's definitely a guy that you want on your defense, but he's not J.J. Watt. But okay, so they went ahead and gave him all that money, and your quarterback is still Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what you expect to accomplish with that. The dude is okay, but he's not the best. He's not very consistent. He had some really good games. I mean, they did beat the Patriots this last season, but they had some games that they were expected to do well, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So there's another guy that said, I want to go to a contender. I want to go to a contender. And you were with a contender.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a better quarterback.
Yeah, the Lions were always fighting on the North. Yeah.
So we're seeing that a lot.
Yeah, and he had the opportunity to go anywhere. I mean, anybody would have been glad to have him. If he really wanted to go to a contender, you know, he was obviously not going to get paid what he got paid in Miami. It just goes to tell you what these guys are really about. It's not really about winning. It's about paying. I mean, he got, I think it's $160 million, you know, and the Lions were offering $151. So, you know, I mean, there was good money to stay where he was at, and they had already built something around him.
Why is nobody going to the Raiders if that's the case? These guys, their money's just burning a hole through their pocket, and they're not signing anybody.
They just have a lot of other issues going on with I think it's more the culture there, but it's changing. I think it's changing with their quarterback, Derek Carr. I think, you know, you saw some glimpses as to what's coming in the future, as long as they can get him some protection. Good running game, and well, that's pretty much everything, right? And some wide receivers. They might see something special with that kid. So I think they picked up somebody good. The Raiders are a little bit in a move. They might be moving to LA. So we'll see what happens with them. But one of the biggest ones, man, was the Jets. The Jets spent a lot of money on that team, but yet didn't bring in a quarterback. Nope. Does that make any sense to you?
No, they still have Geno Smith. And that,
like I said, they got no quarterback. So.
may as well. And again, that's another team that has really stacked the decks. They've plugged up a lot of their holes, but your most important position is the quarterback. This is the NFL that we live in today. This isn't the 85 Bears where a defense can win you games. It's not that. We're definitely at a point where if you have a solid quarterback, and you still need a lot of help. If that were the case, then the Colts should have beat the Patriots by any count, but you saw all the weaknesses that they had at the AFC Championship game, and they were just picked apart. Now they're another team that's dangerous. I think the most dangerous teams right now, because of the acquisitions, Seattle Seahawks and the Colts.
Yeah, they picked up Jimmy Graham. No, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks with Jimmy Graham, I mean, you have a team that was one play away from winning the Super Bowl, and you make that team better. You know, that's crazy that that happened that like that.
Blown
then
call.
You have, right? Then you have the Colts, who are one game away from the Super Bowl without a running game, without a wide receiver. You know, they had T.Y.
Without Hilton, defense.
Without defense, they were one game away from the Super Bowl. Now you throw in Frank Gore. You have a running game. At least it's consistent. You have Andre Johnson.
Similar sting as what you felt.
Right. And Andrew Luck continues to get better. So I watch out for these Colts, man. If they were already good, they just got better, man. And so a lot of these teams doing good that are already good, they continue to put the pieces together in their puzzles. And then other teams that just leave you scratching your head as to, what are you doing? You know, where's the thought process in this? And that's where I think there was a lot of good moves, and then there were a lot of just
head scratchers.
Yeah. Did not understand what the thought process of that was.
On one end, I'm happy for my hometown team because we have signed the former Patriot Vince Wilfork to our defense. But then we let go of Case Keenum, which has always been my favorite quarterback. Then we got Hoyer from the Browns, and I saw him fall apart last season. I don't want any part of that. Now, we kept Ryan Mallett, and a lot of people think that he could be the next guy to take us into the next stage where that could be our franchise quarterback. But, I mean, at this point, I don't know. I would have rather gone for a quarterback that you already know.
Right, and they might draft one, you know. But that AFC South is going to be difficult. You might be just looking at a wild card, you know. You're not going to beat the Colts. The Colts, I could tell you right now, are going to win that AFC South. I mean, I'm already giving it to them, and it's not even August yet.
And also, know? These two times that we're going to meet them year after year, those are theirs too. It was theirs when Peyton Manning was there. Even that year where he wasn't there, in between Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning, that was still theirs. They still owned us. So yeah, best we can look at is a wild card. But I was happy that Andre Johnson got what he wanted, and maybe he can get himself a Super Bowl ring. You know, I can't hate on him for that, but it does sting. Much like it does for you, it stings when they go to our rivals. Yeah.
The Colts have won a Super Bowl, unlike the Eagles. So that actually makes sense. That's what I was trying to say, you know. And so, but we are talking about championships and talking about all of that, man. We are in WrestleMania season. This is time for the WWE to shine in the Showcase of the Immortals, which is coming up real soon. We got Sting making his first appearance at a WrestleMania, fighting with Triple H, Brock Lesnar, and the whole UFC, if he's going to stick around or if he's going to leave or is he going to take the championship. He's fighting Roman Reigns, so hopefully he comes in and does business with him. And, you know, finally we get to see that belt, I don't know, on the show. That would be nice. At least defend it, right? I mean, we haven't even seen on pay-per-views, we haven't even seen the belt at all. So, you know, this is all coming up. This is all happening real soon. And it is, I mean, what do you think about the card so far?
I have to say that I think, and it pains me to say it, but this is probably the weakest card for a WrestleMania ever. I've pointed out that we've seen it before where one WrestleMania acts as the build for the following year. I understand that, and it's worth the wait. But the fact that you have to bring back the Dead Man, the Undertaker, to help the card up, that just tells me how weak it really is. I really hope that can be fixed. I know that the Sting Triple H match will be epic. That's the saving grace.
That will deliver.
The Brock Lesnar storyline is definitely wrapped in controversy because we don't know what's real and what's not. It's kind of getting back to the old days. So who knows? Who knows if he's going to stay, go to the UFC? But he's already said, staying or going, he's not losing. He's keeping that belt. And he's already threatened that if a Montreal Screwjob is attempted, he will definitely exact a revenge on whoever is responsible. And you can take that however you like it. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm still nervous. We do have the Intercontinental Ladder match. I think that's probably going to steal the show. And the John Cena-Rusev match is going to steal the show as well. I think finally we're going to have those belts represented well.
Right. The John Cena-Rusev match was really good in the last pay-per-view. So I'm looking forward to this. But, you know, again, this one should be good. And I like Bray Wyatt. I like what Bray Wyatt's doing. You know, it goes to just show how good Bray Wyatt is. Because The Undertaker hasn't been back. Usually he comes back in January, maybe early February, and makes his appearances. But he hasn't shown up at all. And Bray Wyatt has had to sell the whole match on his own. And he's doing a great job working with whatever he has. So I think that's very impressive. And it goes to show that once these guys get an opportunity to make this organization their own, they will. You know, you got Seth Rollins, you got Roman Reigns, you got Dean Ambrose, which we're all a group, actually, together. And, you know, even Daniel Bryan, you know, he's still got a few years left in him. But it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out and if it is just going to be a good setup for next year, you know?
It does feel very strange to be discussing WrestleMania. It's the biggest event of the year for us wrestling fans. And it feels so weird to be in the moment in WrestleMania season without Mr. WrestleMania, the great Shawn Michaels.
But we do have him. What do you mean?
Oh, we do, yes. We both have been reading the new book that Shawn Michaels just put out, Wrestling for My Life. And I got it through Audible, and it's been really great. It's a great read because I grew up watching Shawn Michaels. I actually watched more of his second run after his nearly career-ending injury happened. And he discusses his personal life and his faith and how it helps him not only in the ring, but outside the ring. So it's been definitely a fun read. And I love the fact that with Audible, I was able to put it on my phone and I can take it wherever I go. It's really portable. It's convenient. And it just really allowed me to enjoy it. It's been a great read.
Yep. And make sure to go to audible.com/Serotalk to get your free download. And that has been our very first show of the rundown here on the Serotalk Podcast Network. We hope to be with you guys each and every week. And we hope you comment or, you know, send us any feedback that you guys may have. Again, my name is AZ. I'm here with Mr.
JDR.
And we'll see you guys very, very soon.
Believe that.